When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Villarreal are a disgrace and should never play football ever again. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, 28th of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Eddie Russell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
And who needs seven goals on a Champions League semi-final first leg when you've got Andy Brasso and Luke Moore in the house, people?
Thank you very much. That's kind of you. And it's one for the purists last night. You know, we don't need goals to have a good time.
And we are indeed the purists. If I had to...
I wasn't expecting you to nearly quote Jermaine Stewart in the first, like, minute of the show, to be honest.
I expect the unexpected, mate.
I'm sure that that's what Unai Emery says before the players are ready to take the pitch. And remember, we don't have to take our clothes off to have a good time.
I didn't even know the author of that song, so I presume that's who you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the song, but I couldn't tell you the artist, if artist is the right word.
Unai Emery could.
Yeah, I'm sure he could.
I thought you were saying that Unai Emery said, as his pep talk, no.
branded.
As his talk.
We'd be suing his ass for that.
He just said, expect the unexpected.
Kate, do you want to give us more on your personal opinion, a very deeply held personal opinion that Villarreal are a disgrace?
Yes, I think they're a bunch of lazy charlatans. I think they've bluffed their way past such teams who ought to be here as Juventus and Bayern Munich. It's an embarrassment to global football that a team like Villarreal, with a wage bill the size or slightly less than Burnley's, should dare really to compete at this level of European football. It's just an embarrassment to the game.
Say what you want, ironically or non-ironically, but if we start talking about the size of the town, I'm walking out that door.
Yeah, Russell started to make some pretty big demands. Last week, he had a top five of all the words he didn't like being used in football. At the start of a show, I was all over the place.
I like that a lot.
Why don't you also, Kate, if you're not going to be brave enough
Actually, I've thought of another one. Mourinho.
Yeah.
No, it's Mourinho.
Oh, yeah. Mate. But also, people who call him Jose. What the hell is that?
I only call him his full name, which is Jose Mourinho, the one who stole the show. You are the special one and the dynamo. Kate.
I'm so glad he's on the top of the show.
If you're not going to say it, I'll say it on your behalf.
Please.
You've stopped just short of what you were saying earlier, which is the only solution to this problem with teams like Villarreal getting to the semi-final of the Champions League is some kind of European Super League.
Yeah, close shop. Some kind of close shop. That's what we need. And I think it's about time that we, the common footballing man, come together, rise up and demand a European Super League.
I just don't think it's fair that football teams do whatever they think is best to try and win a game.
I don't.
It's not right, is it?
It's weak.
Or win a game over two games.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They need to scrap that as well. That's the other thing. That's the other thing that's waiting in the wings. Although, actually, Anti-Brassel.
Yeah. Anti-Brassel only comes out. Anti-Brassel only comes out at night after like too much football. It's like venom. Comes out of his shoulder. Anti-Brassel, everything's shit.
You don't want two legs in the Champions League semi-final.
I like this idea of a final four. I really like it. And you know what?
All right.
When we're talking about the disparity of football at the moment, which is basically what's led us to this Liverpool v Real and people not understanding and saying Real shouldn't play like that, et cetera, overlooking the fact that basically they kind of have to. If you have a one-off semi-final, I think that's what the big clubs don't want.
Definitely.
What they don't want is an element of chance. That's the whole thing about the Super League,
isn't it? Of course it's much harder to win try over two games than it is over one.
Yeah,
of course it is.
Do you think I'm just too buried in the summer of 2019? Do you think that's informing all of my views about absolutely everything?
It's possible. Yeah. It is possible. I've said this to you before. But anyway, let's talk about the game itself.
I reckon Tottenham would have won the Champions League if it had been in a Final Four situation.
Good
think
Lord.
On that.
Yeah.
Oh, think well, in that case, I'm totally sold. Like, whatever the hell it was I just said a minute
ago. In a way, it's a real trophy, isn't it?
Actually, well, you joke, Luke, but I would say that, yes, Andy Brassel's belief and desire to say positive things about you is the real quiz. The final score, we should probably mention, is Liverpool 2, Villarreal 0. Clearly, there were other opportunities to score. And the tie, according to Michael Owen, they've just about got a pulse. Could they have hoped for much more, Luke?
I actually think that for the first half of the game, they were excellent, Villarreal. And to the point... And I say excellent. Of course, Liverpool were the much better team, but Liverpool are the much better team. And I think the way that Villarreal approached it was kind of synonymous with what Jurgen Klopp had said about Unai Emery before the game, which is that he's a perfect cup manager. He knows how to approach a one-off game, etc., etc. And what Villarreal were trying to do is they were trying to stop Liverpool getting any kind of tempo or rhythm. Because if they get into their stride and they can play at the tempo they want and they can move the ball the way they want, then it's very, very difficult for any team in the world to deal with them. So you saw them trying to slow things down. You saw them trying to disrupt their rhythm, whatever means they needed to. And I feel if they felt like they could get out of an Anfield game in the first leg with a 1-0, they probably would have taken that all day long.
Yeah.
And I think, finally, to respond to the Michael Owen point, who I think I kind of agree with, actually, which is not something I say very often, but I do agree with him on this occasion. They are just about still in it, just about. I think you have to say that. I think if you are someone who believes in the integrity of competition in this sport, you think, okay, 2-0's not the end of the world. Now, we know Liverpool are a much better team. We know they're overwhelming favourites to go through, and we know that the statistics tell us and the percentage chance tells us that Liverpool will more than likely go through. But I do think in these situations, there's a much bigger difference between 2-0 and 3-0. If it goes to 3-0, it's basically over. 2-0, there's still a glimmer of hope. But there is hope.
Also, I think to say that it's over is just a sign that you've not watched the last like 5-6 years of the Champions League, because Champions League knockout is a history of comebacks in the last 5 or 6 years, isn't it?
And so, especially they go to Villarreal. It's not the other way around, right? Yeah. And I think actually they, to be fair, were talking about that as well in the studio, like that ground, that incredible ground, and those fans.
They changed the name of it for some reason. Why have they changed the name of it? Used to be the El Madrigal, didn't it? Now it's the Ceramic Stadium or something.
Yeah.
Weird name.
Yeah, well, the guy who owns the club and has brought them from nothing to where they are now, Fernando Roig, he's made his money through ceramics.
He's a ceramic king.
He just loves ceramics so much. He just called it the Stadium of the Ceramics.
Yeah.
It's great.
He just loves it.
Can I follow up on that, though, Andy? Your point about the idea of the Champions League being a competition full of comebacks. Have we seen such a big discrepancy in the quality of one team and another to facilitate that comeback, though? Because I think that Liverpool probably... We're talking about a team who could end up this season by being the best club side in English history, statistically.
Yeah, maybe. I think there's something in that. On the other hand, before we knew that the bottom was falling out of Barcelona, I think everyone saw a reasonable discrepancy between, say, Roma and Barcelona.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the obvious example, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it can happen.
Yeah, and it so, you know, in a week and a week's time, we'll be sitting talking about how Jurgen Klopp dropped the ball.
Let's be absolutely clear. If Liverpool don't go through to the final after that, with the form they're in and the way they're playing, It's a complete disaster.
What would you do?
It would be a humongous. It would be beyond a shock. Yeah.
What would you do? What would you eat, Luke Moore, to indicate your horror? What would you wear on your head?
It's not a question I've kind of expected.
Like, was it the Dundee boss? Will you go naked for a week if that happens?
I just don't see who wins in that scenario. I mean, I could.
Especially as we share these seats.
No one wins. If there's some, I mean, look, I'll talk about it if there's some kind of sponsor involved, maybe. But I want the lion's share.
The other serious point to make, of course, is that Villarreal are also missing, what, potentially Brass, their best player, Gerard Moreno.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Double Moreno absence, like, but the other Moreno is like not Spurs, so big. It's like and Spurs, Jeremy Pino, the youngster.
Yeah, I mean, he's more used as a pinch hitter, but missing Gerard Moreno is absolutely huge for them. And I said before the game, like, how are they going to score at Anfield? And that was the big thing, really, because he's not just a guy who scores goals. He's this kind of Swiss Army knife of a striker. It's like Spurs turned up without Harry Kane, basically.
It was a bit like Spurs turned up, to be honest.
and that really is a testament to how good Liverpool are. You say that, it's really hard. It is really hard to think of how Villarreal would score. Mm. And they've scored every game in the Champions League up until last night.
I think Fabinho was actually a key player in all of this. Mm. The way he swept away anything that resembled danger. And you talked about them trying to slow the game down.
Yes, it was the same. He was chopping tempo, it up, wasn't he?
He brings tempo to it as well.
Yeah.
I would also say, to give Villarreal a little bit more credit, and look, I know Liverpool were the better team. We know how good Liverpool are, so we don't.
We haven't actually given Liverpool any credit yet. Maybe they don't need it.
They deserve the credit, of course.
A little tiny bit of credit.
I thought it was quite a lot of credit.
But the way that Villarreal eventually succumb is by a very, very unfortunate incident.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, they haven't been pulled apart in that Man City style where someone gets behind the fullback, cuts one back, and they walk one in. Mm. It's a very, very... almost like a freak goal, really.
Yeah.
It's a cross from Henderson. As people haven't seen it, it's a cross from Henderson. It's deflected by the Villarreal defender, Estupiñán, and the keeper makes a bit of a hash of it because he's caught unawares.
Because the massive Geronimo deflection. Rui.
Right, okay. Yeah. So he's got form for that, perhaps.
Who scored and saved a penalty in the final of the Europa League to knock out Manchester United.
He's at the big table now, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
The Champions League.
I don't know.
And then Villarreal score again very quickly. Liverpool score again very quickly afterwards.
Yeah.
And you wonder, because that's the reason I mentioned that specifically is because that game last night is exactly the kind of situation where if you keep frustrating and keep frustrating and keep frustrating, it gets harder and harder for the team who are making all the running to make that breakthrough. Now, people may say to that, well, not Liverpool because Liverpool are so good. But it does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And what I thought was interesting, actually, is that it would have been really easy to cave after conceding those two goals in double quick time and go on and lose 4-0 or whatever. But for me, there was a sense that Liverpool had the calendar in their minds.
Yes.
Once they got that bit of comfort, and there was a sense of... And I don't think it's not even a criticism. I think at some point something has to give. And if you've got the opportunity to take your foot off the pedal without sustaining any damage, I think it's a reasonable thing to do.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, it's Liverpool's 55th game of the season, that was. And they're making four subs. They're kind of semi-resting players in their Champions League semi-final first leg. And look, we'll come on and talk about the quadruple situation endlessly towards the end of the season, I think. So
as long as they stay in it, yeah.
Perhaps today's not the day for it, but as you say, Luke, this would be the most astonishing achievement.
Here's a little wicked whisper for you, though.
Go on.
Newcastle United won six games at home in a row.
Right.
And
that's
that stadium
the
will be bouncing this weekend.
Ooh.
Liverpool could slip up. You never know. There's a lot of football to be played.
If it's a wicked whisper, isn't it meant to be something like more potentially libelous than that, with the names taken out?
I didn't mean to say we don't do libel on the show, aren't you? I didn't mean to say wicked whisper.
Well, we don't.
I meant to say it's the early
Saturday game as well, Luke, to add to your theory. Should we just call it Luke's?
I just think, and yeah, look, there'll be time to preview the games tomorrow, as I'm sure, because there always is.
It's a preview show.
On the other hand, but I'm not on that though, am I?
So
what I would say is this, it's easy to say Liverpool have got X amount of games to do this when you can't overlook the fact that the games they've got to play, going to St James's Park at the moment isn't easy. And that will have a huge bearing on the Premier League race because Man City are already a point ahead, right?
So yeah, they did petition to have the kickoff put back at Newcastle, didn't they? Unsuccessfully.
Who do you petition to?
Well, I think Jurgen Klopp knows who he thinks he should petition to, and he always thinks it should be Des Kelly, but it's not.
Exactly.
Which I think is probably why it's not been pushed back.
And it puts
it's all right, Des will sort it. And if Des get on, great.
And it puts me in a weird position because I end up feeling sorry for Des Kelly. You know, I don't know how to feel about that.
this is a nice man. I don't think he should have to put up with it, to be honest.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Share the love around.
He's not your favourite at BT Sport, though, is he?
How else do you... Who else
Big Dempo.
Do you...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, Big
of course.
Dempsey,
I'm Team Dempo.
Can we talk about Thiago, by the way?
Yeah, please do.
Let's talk about Thiago as well, because he has been an absolute revelation.
If you're 96% pass accuracy.
It's crazy what he's able to do.
104 passes.
It's crazy what
you
he's
do
able
the
to
math.
Do.
I can't actually.
Given that the ball's only in play for X amount of time, I mean, it's an incredible achievement.
It's almost as if it's a made-up statistic.
But you pulled out... but Andy, you pulled out... Fabinho, and you both did, you guys, but Thiago as well. I mean, the best combination of those three midfield players. You probably wouldn't have Henderson in it, would you?
I would always have Henderson
ahead of Keita.
I don't know if it was the final against Manchester City. I think I would go Fabinho, Henderson, Keita to carry that dynamite front three, because I love Thiago, but you just look, and when he's at his absolute best, he is wonderful to watch. But I think you look through his history and the amount of games he's played in every season, there's still just that little bit of fragility. So, you know, when people come out on Twitter and go, why haven't people recognised that he's the greatest midfielder in the world? Well, because he's never plays more than 30 games a season.
The thing about That's Twitter why. Between you and I, Andy, is that they don't they don't even have to come out. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to do anything special.
If you're tweeting about the game, you're probably not watching it properly. There could be that as well.
Well, some would say if you're watching four games at once, you're not focusing on
them properly.
How dare you?
Well, if you want lots more of this, well, get to On the Continent later this afternoon. It is Andy, it's Dotton and Lars Sivertsen. Going to look over both matches from midweek. They'll also be asking if winning some of Europe's biggest leagues actually matters anymore. Oh my God, it's absolutely tragic. Okay, that's the sort of stuff you may or may not get on the Continent later today. Chelsea are heading to the Fortress Old Trafford tonight. Thomas Tuchel has been talking about Antonio Rudiger because Rudiger is indeed on his way, Luke. It looks as though this is connected to all the situation with sanctions, because Antonio Rudiger, many people from Chelsea are saying, has been their player of the season.
I know Andy's got a pretty interesting take on Rudiger. I think he's... Well,
do I?
I think we used to.
That's a lot of pressure.
You said you thought he was a little bit overrated. You think he was a good player who goes through in and out of form. You said
no. That's not what I said.
Okay, why don't you clear up what you said, and I'll give you my take afterwards.
Okay, great. Yeah, his form post Tuchel is not consistent with his form before it.
Okay, sure.
I think is fair to say he's played astonishingly well in the last year and a half. And like I said, I think the problem was that he expected to be paid on new form rather than overall contribution at Chelsea, or I don't know, overall pedigree throughout his career. I think you have to look at him and say he's pretty close to being the best defender in the Premier League and one of the best ones in Europe at the moment. But, you know, I don't think we should say this is a sanctions thing, because Chelsea were never prepared to pony up what he actually wanted.
Ah, okay. So you think they're using it as a sense of that? So they're saying
I think he's rewriting history a little bit.
Wow, okay. Because Tuchel's been talking about him and has said Tony's a huge factor in our last 1.5 seasons together. He gives everybody confidence. He's available over 100% of matches, plays at an outstanding level, blah, blah, blah. So he's making out that he's being a victim of circumstance.
No, but what the coach wants and what the club are prepared to pay are two different things, aren't they?
Of course.
So
yeah.
But there's a danger in this that it's all moot anyway, though, right? Because no matter what the valuation of the player is from the club's point of view and what the player's agent thinks the player's worth, it's irrelevant if you can't negotiate anyway.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter, does it, in the grand scheme of things?
Bear in mind with Real Madrid, I don't know how much Real Madrid have offered him, but bear in mind with David Alaba, he was asking for a number, I think around 18 million a year off Bayern, and they said, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. And Real Madrid said, I'll tell you what, they won't give you 18. How about 24? Yeah. How does that sound?
Yeah.
And I mean, this is Real Madrid in saving their pennies mode.
And I think also with Rudiger, he's 29 now, so he's approaching probably the peak of his earning power.
Yes.
So he's experienced enough.
Yes.
And but not so old that he can't negotiate a deal where people start thinking about what the future holds for him. I think for him as a player, I would agree with Andy's assessment there. I think, you know, he's an amazing athlete. He sees danger as well, which is a really underrated skill in a top defender. Because we are attracted as football fans and viewers to the big kind of headline pieces, the big headers won, the tackles won, you know, occasionally the odd goal being scored. Or pass picked out. But what Rudiger's really good at is seeing danger. The reason I kind of hesitated to talk about whether he was one of the best Premier League defenders around, because he plays next to Thiago Silva quite a lot, who I know is beyond the very peak of his powers, but he's an absolute class act as well.
Oh, for sure.
And I think I wonder, and I'm not saying this to denigrate Rudiger, and because ultimately time will tell when he does move on, but I sometimes wonder how good he will be when he's not next to Thiago Silva.
I wonder how much Real Madrid actually need him.
Right, okay.
Given they've got Alaba, given that Eder Militao is on a different level now. I'm surprised. Also, they've shown no indication before to want to play three at the back, Real Madrid. In fact, to the extent where Zidane, and I know this goes back to a previous coach, but Zidane bins off Hakimi because he's like, yeah, you can't play right back in a back four. So cheerio. And he ends up two seasons later at PSG playing that anyway.
And Andy, is there any kind of thinking with Chelsea? I know, and I said, a lot of this is moot because of what we talked about with the situation at Chelsea. There's a lot of reason for Chelsea fans to feel a bit uncertain at the moment. But is it factored into their thinking that they've got a lot of good young defenders as well, Chelsea, and they think, okay, we can probably shoulder this burden?
Well, they
many
would
of them
have,
they would have,
yeah, they would have loved to re-sign him. But
if they had the choice, they would have kept.
They haven't been able to either pre or post sanction. That has been the issue. I think they would have loved to keep him.
Okay. I guess on the upside for Chelsea fans who are feeling a bit uncertain at the moment, Tuchel has said yesterday that he's committed to staying at Chelsea. Concedes that the summer will be very, very demanding. Interesting rumours this morning, then, sticking with that game tonight, which is Chelsea heading to Manchester United, that Crystal Palace wants to bring Aaron Wan-Bissaka back into the fold at Selhurst Park.
Why? Why would they do? I can understand the benefit for Manchester United. I'm not sure I can understand the benefit for Crystal Palace.
Yeah, he hasn't shone there in the end.
Well, also,
it's not worked out.
What sort of price are they prepared to take for him as well? I can't imagine, even if it was a massive discount, I can't imagine being Crystal Palace and thinking, you know what, let's spend, even though he used to play for us, let's spend like 20 million on a left back that, or on a right back that United don't want.
Yeah, but the beauty of it is you still made a sweet, sweet profit because they paid 50 for him. So it doesn't really matter. You get your money back. You get your money back. You get the player back that you wanted who was really good for you.
Yeah.
And you get £30 million cash or whatever, however the deal
is. Who's batting for Nathaniel Klein here? That's what I want to know.
True.
Are we
looking at this the wrong way around? Are we looking at this as in what does it mean for Crystal Palace and Aaron Wan-Bissaka's point of view, when we should maybe be looking at what it means for Man United's point of view? Because is there going to be a gigantic car boot sale at some point at a complete dumpster fire of a club that is Man United at the moment? That's the
okay. Who would be on your sells list?
I'd ask Scott McTominay. I would say, Scott, thanks very much for your post-match comments after the game last time out.
Right. Who are the snakes?
You cleared a few people in mind. You cleared a few people in mind when you were talking about it. Why don't you tell us who it is? Because I think my take on it, but having watched Man United, no other insight than just having watched Man United and read the same press as everyone else, my take is that there's probably a handful of players at United who always want to do well. And as John Sitton would say, Andy, always want to be good all the time. Do you know how profound that is? Have you examined the fucking words? Right? But there's load in there who only, A, care about themselves, or B, care about their wage packet or whatever. And clearly McTominay's got some players in mind that he thinks should stick around and players that shouldn't. And you know, it's a ridiculous situation because, you know, Ralf Rangnick's goose is basically cooked.
The players
who didn't respect him anyway now respect him even less because a new manager's coming in. So it's interesting if Wan-Bissaka's going to be the first of many to be on their way.
Are we saying Scott McTominay, director of football? Is that
yes.
what you're saying?
Why not? Can
That's
it be worse?
What I was saying.
Can it be worse?
Aaron, and obviously, from the perspective of Aaron Wan-Bissaka, you could argue that if he wants to kind of crack on and play in a proper team immediately, then yeah, head to Palace. Work under Patrick Vieira, have a lovely time.
What is it about Palace? Like, Will Zaha was the same. What? I just want to be back. I just want to be back now.
Yeah.
What is it about? Heart can't heal its savage wounds when you leave Crystal Palace.
Oh, that's a nice way of looking at it. Although, the other piece of advice that's going on for players at Manchester United features Louis Saha's suggestion that Marcus Rashford should go to Las Vegas to help him recharge his batteries and think about what he wants next in his career. Brass, is that where you'd go?
That's where I make all my best decisions. What a ridiculous suggestion.
Put me in a room with no windows and no clock, and I'll have the answer by the end of the afternoon.
And you forgot the unlimited free alcohol as well.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess he says what he wants next in his career. It might not be football. I mean, you think of the footballers.
Does he want to become a professional poker player, for instance?
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. I think, like, Thomas Gravesen became like a multi-millionaire or billionaire, I think, actually.
What?
After going to Vegas and developing business interests there. There's that guy who used to keep goal for Portsmouth, John Sullivan.
Yeah.
He went over there and he's like a millionaire realtor now. And he couldn't get in the Portsmouth team.
I do take your points on board. I don't think this is what Louis Saha means. I think Louis Saha's talking about a 2 to 3 week blowout. And I think he's misread the room because I don't think he understands that Marcus Rashford isn't that kind of person. And what's going to happen is Marcus is just going to be sat there on a stool in front of the flashing lights of a fruit machine looking sad. And we don't need that.
Oh, you think he's going to have one of those like little old lady like plastic cups with all the coins
with all the quarters in? Yeah.
Oh no, I don't want to think about that.
That's where I think he should go.
That's a much better suggestion.
Marcus Rashford.
And you don't even know him, and you made a better one. So that's how poor a judge of character Louis Saha is.
Have a look at the canals, at the waterways. Mm. Read some of your books.
You can do that in Vegas, to be fair, can't you?
Twitter.
They got a little fake Venice there. Yeah, Eiffel Tower as well.
Mate, you can do that in Doha.
I think you made your point.
On which note, I think it might be time to get to a break.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Oh dear, look at these keepers.
Yeah, fair enough. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. It is Thursday. We're in the thick of the European action and we got some of these for you.
We've got one from Lucas here. Greetings from St. Louis, Missouri, the land of Nelly and the St. Lunatics. Hooray. Toasted ravioli and the current home of the famous Lutz Pfannenstiel. Yeah, go on, Lutz. Who is the sporting director of our new MLS team, St. Louis City, the ravioli boys with a Z.
Yeah.
You know,
we met Lutz, right? We met him before.
Yeah, we did. You know, your favourite, talking of goalkeepers, Roman Bürki. He's going to be their goalkeeper from next season.
Guys, I'm looking up this toasted
ravioli
business.
Don't give me the Roman Bürki sign.
Toasted ravioli is just, they just deep fry it, right?
We love you, Roman.
Breaded, fried, and served with marinara sauce and a sprinkling of parmesan. Oh, that sounds so
well, I hope you haven't nicked the second part of Lucas's email.
Oh, sorry, yes, go on, Lucas.
On the topic of settling a Missouri showdown in the most Missouri way possible, I think I've got just the thing. St. Louis is the home of the Anheuser-Busch, along with a rather curious lack of state law prohibiting you from drinking while in a vehicle. Huh. Both Kansas City and St. Louis are home to some of the most famous barbecue in the country, and the ice cream cone was invented at the 1904 World's Fair in St. Louis. Wow. The conclusion is obvious. The two Missouri contenders should sit down, eat, drink beer, relax, and have a duel on the infamous Bloody Island, a sandy landmass in the middle of the Mississippi River where individuals with conflict would settle their differences in the 19th century, as it was considered not to be under the jurisdiction of Missouri or Illinois law. A perfect place to determine the rightful king of Missouri, Rambleton.
Nice.
So they're eating and fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great weekend, isn't it?
Are we talking about finishing off a rib and chucking the bone?
Target. Yeah, nice. I thought actually they were going down the route of just like an all-you-can-eat, you know, Britain's biggest eater, Missouri's biggest eater contest.
That was brilliant, like last summer on ESPN where they'd run out of sport to show and they started showing the competitive
eating. Guys are athletes.
That's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Did you see that guy who drank a gallon of lemonade in like 30 seconds?
Yeah. And have you seen incredible. They've done those tests on what happens basically to your stomach when you eat the amount
of
food.
Did you almost say tummy then?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. Carry on.
Your tummy gets really full.
She was like, I would normally say tummy, but in this environment I'm not going to get away with that, so I'll go stomach.
They said tummy before we got to tummy ache. That was the issue.
Do you know how they eat the hot dogs? They smash the roll in water and then basically push it down their throat. So it's really
what do they do with it, Luke? What's that normally termed as?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Oh, well, never mind.
What?
Well, we've gone from tummy to deep throating. So.
Mason, I'm entirely innocent here, talking about shoving rolls down your throat, competitive eating. Unbelievable. Can I take it back to this? Can I just say, Bloody
you
Island.
Innocently talk about shoving sausages down your throat.
We're back in Germany again now. On Bloody Island, they should have a game once a year, and it's just prison rules. Because if there's no jurisdiction, if you're brave enough, step up and have a big prison rules game.
I bet Lord of the Flies is Luke Moore's best book. Favourite book of all time.
I'm probably the little fat one, aren't I?
No, you're the one that kills everybody.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take that.
Before we move on, let's have a little update from Fort William, shall we?
Yes.
Because we gave them a shout out, was it last week, before their big playoff game? They were trying to find out if they're going to be relegated after all these endless defeats. Luke, you love the pain that they've been suffering. And the
I
way
don't
they
love the pain.
You love the pain, but they'd managed to fight against these like 20-0 defeats and still not get relegated. But unfortunately, they then were in a relegation playoff against Banks. So they had to withdraw. There's all sorts of very confusing stuff and complicated statement put out by the Highland Football League, but effectively lots of their players weren't eligible for playoffs, including their only goalkeeper. Although, as it turns out, Luke, they've got a spare goalkeeper, they just didn't know about him. So anyway, it looks as though
it's quite anonymous, really.
Yeah, for the first time since 1985, it looks as though they have been relegated and will be playing in the North Caledonian League next season.
Well, sounds very disorganised. I think we've just discovered the only team, perhaps, in Britain that would benefit from having Pete Donaldson as a general manager to do the admin.
Still disagree. Still absolutely disagree. And I think the reason we mention this is because obviously our listeners love hearing about Fort William. Now, it is a little bit, we don't mean it to be patronising, it's an interesting story. One thing that's never been made clear to me now, though, and it's pertinent now that we know they're going to be playing in the North Caledonian League instead, is that what is the big issue with doing that? Because they always stayed in the Highland League. They always got battered every single week.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
They should be happy.
Why would you not want to go down to the North Caledonian League and just maybe pick up some results, rebuild from the ground up. Exactly. And then maybe try and get promoted again. Unless there's some kind of blockage between being promoted from that into the Highland League, which can happen at non-league level, right?
Or maybe losing is your brand.
I think that's a little bit meta. I don't think that's... I mean...
You can't lose your losing brand.
Get your tinfoil hat on, Brassel. I also noticed the North Caledonian League, by the way.
Yeah.
Lovely away trip to Loch Ness FC.
Oh, come on. I want to follow Fort William now even more. If you are a Fort William fan, please do get in touch again. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. We want to hear how you're getting on and also why you don't want to play in the North Caledonian League against such titans as Loch Ness FC.
That'll be a derby as well because Fort William's at the southern tip of Loch Ness. That, it'd be hard to have a really fiercely contested derby in such a beautiful environment, but maybe they can test that theory.
I'm sure they'll manage. Staying in Scotland, Hibernian apparently have been approached, but I'm sure people have seen this, and I know Luke will be keeping a close eye on it because he's so nervous about losing Roy Keane to punditry. Roy Keane's agents have reportedly approached Hibernian about the position.
He's angling, Roy. This is the interesting thing about it. He's angling, clearly, quite regularly for jobs. Now, I understand he probably feels like there's a certain level of job he will entertain and he won't go lower than that. You know, people have their own opinion on that, but clearly that seems to be his position. I think Roy Keane's the best thing to happen to football on TV since something
else
good.
You don't think the hits are getting a bit...
I know he wants
to play all of the same material every time.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Why is Coronation Street so popular? Every day it's the same.
Are you sure it's not stopped? I thought it was over.
Every day it's the same. Been going for 60-odd years. People like it. People like Roy Keane because he says what he thinks and he's got the charisma that is needed on TV. I would listen to Roy Keane for 5 minutes rather than all the other pundits put together for half an hour, with the exception of a couple. Keane is box office.
Even though you don't actually learn stuff when he talks.
Yeah, that is a very good point.
It's just a tone poem, really.
But not everything needs to be high-minded, does it? Not everything needs to be high-minded. You know, do you learn anything when you watch a Marvel movie? No, but Marvel movies are still quite popular. You know, so there's an element of just pure entertainment.
I feel like
you might
need to put into different terms for me, but yeah.
I'm not saying Roy Keane has got like any kind of superpower that I know of, and if he has, he should use it to still be the manager of Hibernian if they take him, and also find his way onto telly.
That's your
as well.
Big concern, yeah. And perhaps I should have made that clear. He's not trying to work for Hibs TV. He wants to manage.
Yeah.
Hibernian.
Well, last time he went onto a club TV, it didn't go that well. So keep him away from Hibs TV would be my advice.
He's said to be sceptical about working with a US-based owner.
Oh, because of Ellis Short, probably.
Yeah, that's the story.
The match made in heaven, that, wasn't it?
I mean, the problem wasn't...
Sunderland, yeah.
I'm not sure the problem was a US-based owner. I think the problem was that they just kept not winning games. That was the issue.
I wonder who was responsible for that. Tonight, Europa League, Andy Brassel, West Ham are hosting Eintracht Frankfurt at the London Stadium. I'm going to have to give you a quote in full from Knees Up Mother Brown, a West Ham fan site. Do you remember, of course, that Frankfurt fans, very... I'm totally pro this. Like, if you're keen to get to a Barcelona game, if you're loving being in Europe and you can find a way, I'm sure the regulators wouldn't like this, but, you know, if you can get into the bloody stadium and support your team, why the hell not? Great work, Eintracht Frankfurt fans. So the West Ham fans are concerned about this, and this is what this particular fan site has had to say. The moment any German fan is identified, they should be removed from the ground. No ifs, no buts, negotiations or hesitations. It's the only way to solve this problem. He goes on, or she. I'm going to make a point.
Let's be perfectly clear. It's a he.
I'm going to make a point of striking up a conversation before kickoff with any fucker in my vicinity that I don't recognise, which is most of them in this tourist bowl. Any of them who can't name Churchill's full wall cabinets are going to be grassed up to the stewards immediately, and their only memory of 300 quid well spent will be the warming flame of the pre-match show.
Do you know what I love about this? I love that regular, normal, Common or Garden West Ham fans who just want to see their team do well, some of them listen to this show and they've probably seen Knees Up Mother Brown write this and go, this is annoying because people at the Football Ramble, those bastards are going to fucking pick up on this and we're going to be tarred with that brush.
Don't you think the person who's writing this is joking a bit?
I hope so. I think for all of our sakes,
I'm pretty sure they are. Also, I think...
It's funny that they know the test of how... You get voted into the Ramble as well. It's funny that that's the same.
Well, the Winston Churchill War Cabinet.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the same as being...
Also, don't put up your criteria in a public forum because Eintracht Frankfurt fans are very, very well prepared. As we've seen before in London, when they were banned from, because of some previous crowd trouble, the away game at Arsenal, loads of Eintracht Frankfurt fans, this was Unai Emery's last game in charge, actually, the one that Frankfurt won. At the Emirates, they loads of them bought corporate hospitality.
Yeah.
They went and bought Arsenal shirts, so they like blended in and all the rest of it. And then when Daichi Kamada scored, all the corporate boxes start going apeshit. So Eintracht Frankfurt fans I'm sorry to say, West Ham supporters are always going to be a step ahead of you.
Yeah.
And will their side be a step ahead of West Ham?
Yeah, what can people watching the game tonight, Andy, expect from the Eintracht Frankfurt side?
I think West Ham are favourites. I've liked West Ham for this competition for a while.
Well, overall for tonight or overall?
Both, okay. I think. I think we talked about in the last round how the way Lyon set up kind of suited West Ham and their ability to get Bowen and Antonio down the channels. It's the same for Eintracht Frankfurt, I feel, who play with three at the back, whose outstanding defender, arguably, Evan Ndicka, got sent off in the last minute of that game at Barcelona, so he's not going to be playing tonight. After he had an incredible weekend where he scored a goal, assisted a goal, and scored an own goal. Which is a pretty unique hat trick.
Anyway, triad.
After that, it's like a reverse Woodgate, I suppose. Anyway, he's given himself the week off because of that. And you've got two very wingery wing backs. So if you've got Ansgar Knauf and Filip Kostic on either side, they're both terrific players. Knauf scored that brilliant goal against Barcelona in the first leg.
Yeah,
but that to me doesn't scream we've got this covered defensively in the wide areas. So I think West Ham have an in there.
It's going to be the best environment and the best atmosphere at that new stadium in West Ham, in the history of West Ham playing there.
Well, that's how it was always sold to them, wasn't it? For the big European nights.
And that's going to, I think that's going to come to pass tonight again, as it has already in this competition. And I think also, if you look at David Moyes, who never really changes his team that much, I mean, he likes to work with a really core group of players, you can see how much they're all gearing up and tapering down for these kind of games towards the end of the Europa League by the changes that he made in the Premier League last time out. They had that really weird game against Chelsea where it felt like a pre-season friendly.
Oh, fuck it, I think.
Yeah, that's absolutely spot on, of course.
Yeah,
and so, you know, that is, I think you're right, Kate, but that's also a gamble, right? That comes with its own kind of eggs in one basket type scenario. But ultimately, really, if West Ham don't progress past the semi-final and they finish about seventh in the Premier League, I mean, it's still pretty good. But they'll be hoping for a lot more.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that they're playing Eintracht Frankfurt rather than Barcelona in the final. Yeah. It will always stick in their mind if they don't get through.
Absolutely.
Have they got enough eggs?
Hopefully they have. I'm looking forward to it in a big, big way.
And that backroom staff, it's light on eggs.
Yeah. True. Mark Noble said something interesting today, didn't he, as well? Was it yesterday? He said that he's retiring at the end of the season, come what may, and even if there's a temptation to, if West Ham win the Europa League, to play in the Champions League next season, he'll still retire because he wants to go out on a high of winning the Europa League.
He's been on about retiring for all year, hasn't he?
You're talking
and
about
all
a man there.
Previous year.
He can definitely name all of Church's War Cabinet, no question.
But he won't be going anywhere, Mark Noble, because he's got to take his little son to West Ham training.
Another big reason they want to win the Europa League, because if they play in the Champions League next season, they'll almost certainly keep Declan Rice, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That is the stuff. Rangers? Also talking about big environments and big travelling contingents, they are going to RB Leipzig, looking to reach their first European final since 2008. 8,000 fans are travelling, and I know a couple of fans who've already booked their tickets to Seville. So
it's one of those things the media picks up on, though, isn't it? And says, oh, you know, are they being a bit presumptuous? Not really.
You've got to, because otherwise you can't afford it.
Yeah. You can't actually go otherwise. Yeah. It's like we go, oh, look at that. They had a team bus made up for when they apparently win the Premier League. You have to plan that stuff. You don't get handed a fucking Premier League Champions
bus. They had T-shirts in a box.
Yeah, exactly.
Saying winners.
Yeah. Someone's got to make them happen. Someone's got to prepare this. You know. So it's a massive opportunity for them as well.
Oh, it's huge.
Would you have Leipzig are favourites for the tournament overall, right? So you'd have them as favourites against Rangers.
But they lost the weekend, Brassel.
Yeah, they did.
15-game unbeaten run. Willy Orban says they're physically and mentally drained.
Well, they got punked in the last 5 minutes against Union Berlin. They were winning, having beaten them at the last.
Do people still say punked?
I do.
Andy Brassel can
it's
say
it. Ashton Kutcher 2003,
wants.
Isn't it?
Huh?
Punked.
I responded to a text from our producer to confirm a bit of news by saying safe the other day. And I thought, I haven't said that since I was 18.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. And Orban's out suspended, though, isn't he, for this game?
Yes, he is. They've more than enough to cover. And I think you look at that, you look at the squad depth.
They're a better team in Rangers.
That's what everyone said about everybody.
True.
That's what they said about Borussia Dortmund. Oh,
they're so much better than Dortmund. In this calendar year, they've got more Bundesliga points than anyone, including Bayern. Under Tedesco, they're a different kettle of fish, and current Dortmund and current Leipzig can't really compare.
For all the Rangers fans listening with their fingers in their ears, come on, Glasgow Rangers.
But if you do make it...
Can you listen with your fingers in your ears?
They're trying to wait for that bit where he said all the nice stuff about RB Leipzig. So I guess they'd have one finger and one ear. And then
The thing is, Rangers fans, or West Ham fans, if you do make it to Seville, there is something absolutely brilliant, because of course they're not having it at La Cartuja, where they had the Euro games and where they had the Copa del Rey final last weekend. They're actually having it at Sevilla's ground, the Sanchez Pizjuan. And in Nobion, the shopping centre opposite that, if you go up onto the first floor, there is a tunnel slide that brings you all the way down to the ground.
Anyone listening, I can't stop him doing this. He's got his own European show. He's doing it in an hour. He's still talking about
Anyone
the shopping centre on the side
like,
of the Sanchez
Pizjuan.
Oh, my
God, there's some
it's too
fucking
highbrow.
Value coming
OCC's
out of the
too
ramble,
highbrow.
Bradley.
I wouldn't get to talk about the slide on there.
So it's like a...
Oh, so you respect Dotton, do you?
Yes.
It's like a... What, like this slide in Stratford? That, like, curly slide?
Yeah, it's kind of like a dry version of one that you would have in a water park, I suppose.
Come on, Luke.
I'm not against it.
If you can't enjoy that, what can you enjoy?
If I was there, I'd definitely go on it.
Yeah.
There's also Europa Conference League action tonight. Final playing Marseille, Leicester City up against Roma, which means Jose Mourinho gets asked questions about stuff and is angry.
And also, if no one's done a feature on with Brendan Rodgers in like one of those Jedi cloaks, which he would look ridiculous in, I think they're missing a trick there, because it's the master versus the apprentice.
He's called him one of the greats, Brendy has.
Oh, yes, right.
Not himself. Sorry, he's called Jose Mourinho.
Oh, he could be
I can't imagine that, actually.
He's called Jose Mourinho. One of the greats, Mourinho, on his part, says, I see this as his competition. The Europa Conference League, Jose.
Yeah, that might tell its own story.
There's a few ways to read that, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely.
I can think of about 200, but we have to get out of here. The rumours are that Jamie Vardy could start just his second game of 2022. Guys, time to go. Time to go and get stuck into Europa. Fucking hell. Time for me to have a lie down, apparently. Time to get stuck into some European action. Listen to On the Continent. Luke, what have you got planned?
What, for the rest of the day?
Yeah.
I am going to listen in intently to Andy, Dotton and Lars doing their European football thing. And then when I hear their opinions, I'm going to pass them off as my own before the show's released, so people think I'm the power behind the throne.
That's so basically, you're just going to check that I don't talk about the Nervion slide on there.
No, you should be doing it on there. That's my point. I can hear he's fuming.
Hard disagree.
I'll take you out of here now. Thanks, guys. Nice to see
Thank you.
Thank you, guys, for listening to The Football Ramble. It's part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year. just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.